Now we've got the second part in our series looking at how digital technologies will impact our future. So far we've learned about how technology might change the way we work and learn, but what about where we live and how we live? What might the city of our future look like and how can we prepare for it? The Wire's Bonnie Parker has the story.
Automated vehicles are an exciting possibility that are potentially not too far off. Semi-autonomous vehicles are already in use around the world. There are a lot of technological and complex ethical issues that need to be considered, but automated vehicles will also change a lot about the way our cities look and function. Stephen Yarwood is the former Lord Mayor of the City of Adelaide and an urban futurist with City 2050. He says automated vehicles are going to change our cities in ways we don't yet understand.
As a futurist, I'll give you the example of the Long Now, which is sort of about 100 years. In 1906, we started to see the cars come on the road, and they were called horseless carriages. And they were applying horse and cart mentality to this new thing called a car. And now we're calling them driverless vehicles. We're actually applying exactly the same terminology. So what I would say most importantly is don't call them driverless vehicles because they're autonomous everything. It will be two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers, small enough things that can get your beer to your house by actually using the footpath or the bike lane right through to drones flying through the cities. By the time you put all of these things of share economy, social media, GPS, artificial intelligence, electric engines, augmented reality, as well as just your daily diary and understanding who you're connected with, where you need to go and how you need to get there. It's an entirely new operating system that sounds far-fetched right now, but 100 years ago we were talking about these newfangled things called cars and people couldn't cope.
With all that in mind, how on earth do we plan for it? Stephen says cities need to engage citizens and have a long-term vision.
The today is really critical, and getting the infrastructure right today is critical. But also, if they don't have a long-term transformative vision for how they can help save the planet, make their children's lives better, live in a greener place, move through cities more effectively, have more resilient communities, food sources, fresh water, good quality economy, if they aren't engaging in those things, they're not going to be a part of the solution.
David Homburg is a principal at design studio Hassell. He says design processes should be brought into the discussion.
We can sift through a whole lot of information and then visualise it or make it accessible to people so that they understand what potentially the implications are. If there's a number of possibilities put forward and the various issues that you've got to think through, people can engage with that a lot more directly and say, yeah, okay, that is a future that we want or we don't want. It's the ability to prototype and test and discuss and make decisions rather than just letting the technology take us where it ends up taking us.
With technology changing so quickly, there's a danger cities will end up spending a lot of money integrating technology that quickly becomes outdated. Stephen Yarwood again.
We're already seeing that now, just in terms of a street light. We've put in all these LED lights to save a huge amount of electricity. Right thing to do. The only problem is they're still dumb lights versus having a whole pile of sensors, you know, everything that you can do in the street to create this neural network of information. So street lights are like pins neatly planted around a desktop so you can actually measure all the information. So that's a real challenge.
Stephen says it's important we build infrastructure that's ephemeral and can change.
The Japanese got it right with their tatami mats and sliding doors. They can use a room in multiple different ways. And I think we in Australia in particular just build these ridiculously big houses and then we say we don't want to live downtown, so we need two cars. We need to be lonely and isolated. We need to not know our next-door neighbours. We need a front yard that we never use. We've all got an empty bedroom that's completely a waste of time, but we wouldn't want to live downtown in a small place. So I think just understanding those sorts of lifestyles can actually be more sustainable, more sociable. You walk everywhere. You tend to be, you know, thinner, healthier, live longer, have more friends, those sorts of things. I think just getting people to understand how we use space in Australia is a journey that we're starting to see, especially with young people who now can't afford to go out and buy those big houses.
David Homburg says he's seeing this in practice already on a building-by-building basis.
We'll have clients who they know they've got to provide for car parking in their buildings at the moment, but what they're now saying is instead of having them as minimal as possible in terms of, say, a floor-to-floor height, they are anticipating that we'll perhaps need a whole lot less parking. So let's actually give some more generous space so that those car parking spaces can be converted into something else later on. So take a residential apartment building, for example. Instead of doing the really tight floor-to-floor heights that we traditionally do, we've got clients that are saying, look, can you make them suitable for retrofitting as an apartment in anticipation of less cars being needed in those spaces?
Stephen Yarwood decided to run for Lord Mayor of Adelaide in 2010 because the two candidates running were both in their 60s.
The people that are planning the future tend to be baby boomers still, who are applying the last 10 years of their own life to plan a future that looks nothing like it. It's like planning the future by looking in the rear vision mirror. And when you look in the rear vision mirror, you just see cars up your clacker. Well, there won't be any such things as cars in 15 to 20 years' time. A good example is numerous countries, little countries like China and Germany and Scandinavia and India, have all actually now stated that they're going to ban internal combustion engine cars on the streets of their countries by 2040. And Australia hasn't even made that call. And how can you plan a future if you don't really have those aspirational targets that are going to literally transform how cities work and how citizens use cities?